good to have you in the Lord's house this morning, and whether you're sitting here or maybe out in the parking lot or listening later on the website, we're glad to have you worship with us. It's always good to get together with God's people and share our love and our fellowship with one another. Glad to have my daughter and Sarah and her husband Brian here from Australia. Brian came over to the house, and Sarah and they fixed a bunch of stuff that I couldn't fix. You know, my hand fixing skills are, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, about a minus 30. So my daddy taught me good. Hand me that wrench. Hand me that screwdriver. So that's where my skills lie. But it's good to have them and others that are with us this morning. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. May we pray. Father, it's so good to be in your house with those that love you and love one another. Thank you for this precious time of fellowship. We honor the Spirit of God. You know what our needs are, whether they're physical or mental or emotional, financial, spiritual. Precious Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and minister to the needs of each person that's here, each person that might be listening in the parking lot or later on the website. May we experience your presence, your touch, your direction, your comfort. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us before we ever even knew how to love you. You reached down and loved us through Jesus, your Son. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So let's all stand. It'll be on your screens, 424 in the book, Heavenly Sunlight. Let's all joyfully together sing this beautiful hymn. I said to Gary this week, I said, I think it's been a long time since I've heard Heavenly Sunlight. It's just one of my favorites. So let's all join in and sing that one together.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey. has asked that I come and take this part of the service this morning. He's away and out of town, so I said I would be happy to help. Welcome today to Barber's Grove. For all you that are here today, we thank you for making your way here. We welcome our guests, especially Brian and Sarah. You probably get an award for coming the feathers of anyone today. So we appreciate you being here. It's great to see you again and to be seen again. So thank you for being here today. Looking forward to your time here. Today, let's talk about upcoming schedules. Vacation Bible School staff meeting will be at 11 o'clock today, following a conference that's coming up. And then on Wednesday, we have our Bible study at 6:30 each and every Wednesday. And then, as you can see behind us mentioned in Bible School, we're going to be kicking that off next Friday, 6 o'clock. Will be registration with a meal served. And then follow up on Saturday morning at 9 through 3 o'clock. We'll have breakfast and lunch provided. And then we'll follow up on Sunday afternoon at 2 to 5 with Water Fun Day and ice cream party. Sounds like all the good things that Baptists like to do. It's summertime. I want to stop and thank all the effort that's been put into it thus far. If you volunteered, if you've already decorated, there'll be more decorating to come, but we want to thank you and look forward to what God will be doing during our Bible school time together. As I've already mentioned, we'll have a quarterly conference today following the worship service. Are there any other announcements at this time that need to be brought to our attention? Yes, Grant. Okay, 5 o'clock today, the youth will be meeting here, and you will have a meal. Whatever, we love to come together and eat. Okay, thank you, Grant. Any other announcements that needs to be covered at this time? Okay. If not, we'll turn our attention to the prayer list. There have been some mentioned already and some updates already. I'll fill you in on some of these. Jay Joyous, as you have heard already through your one call, was taken to the hospital. It was found out he does have 100% blockage. They were not successful in getting a catheterization done. They will be making that call later on. He's been put on more blood thinners, and hopefully he'll be able to rest and get ready for when they can do the procedures. Anything else I need to add to that, Lori? Okay. Thank you, Lori. Also, Teresa Hathcock, that was on our prayer list with the blood clots. She came home, but she's back in the hospital and having trouble with breathing. I don't think it's blood clots, but she is having some problems with her breathing right now. Oh, she does. Okay, you just got that. Okay. They did find one. Okay. Thank you, Van. And then also we need to continue to pray for Betsy Gibson. Hospice care has come in at this time. Are there any other updates or praise reports? Anyone else need to be added to the prayer list? Okay. If not, let's take time now to pray for those on our list. There are many, and many that we know that are not even on the list. So let's pray at this time. You would join me. Father God, we thank you for this time together today that you have given us another day, Lord, another opportunity. And Father, we don't want to waste it. Father, right now we want to stop and lift these names up to you for Jay, Teresa, Betsy, and all the rest on this list, Father. We pray that you would be with them, Lord. Touch their bodies. Be with those that are the caregivers, Father. Be with those that will be with them, Lord, when they're home, just to have the patience and time and care to take care of them, Father. We thank you for the time that we're given to be with each other. And as we were told in our Sunday school lesson, Lord, when we get tired, we're grateful to those that can come along beside of us and help us. But just to hold our hand up, Father, or to Lord, just to be there with us, we thank you for them. We thank you for the fact, Father, we have you each and every moment of each day, Father. Help us to be quick to stop and pray when we hear these needs, Father, and we lift them up to you now. Lord, we need you more than ever, Father, in this country. We're at a crossroads, Lord, and as we prepare to elect a new leader, Father, we just pray that it would be the leader you would have us to have, Father. We lift them up. We thank you for your mercies and your grace, your provisions that you've given this country for so long. Lord, around the world, Father, there's so much conflict. Help us, Father, to always rely on you to resolve all the conflicts in lives, the ups and downs and the troubles. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our time here. And Lord, I lift up our pastor to you at this time now that you would be with him, speak through him. Lord, may his words that you have prepared enter into our ears, Father, and we take that and put it into action. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercies this day. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's once again stand together, for he alone is worthy. Just think about, while you're singing this with me, about the worthiness of our Lord. I mean, there is no more than he that is the most worthy. So let's just reflect on that as we sing together. All three verses, please.
Give life, you are love, you are
You notice she didn't get her singing voice from her grandpa? Grandma and her mom and her daddy. Everybody sings in the family but me. I asked Brian and Sarah if they wanted to share a few minutes. I'm going to sit up here on the platform so I can use the button and drop him in the basement if he goes too long. But but I do. I know you ask about what they do in Australia and beyond, and so I asked them to take a few minutes just to share what's going on in their lives and in their ministry. So however y'all are going to do it.
Thank you so much. Good morning, church. How are you? It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And to fellowship one with another. It says that we shouldn't forsake ourselves assembling together. And what a wonderful time of worship this morning. It was great to see. It's a bit odd for Sarah and I to be here in the States while our kids are still in Australia. So that's a new one for us with both of them. But Hannah is actually coming back for her second year of university. So she flies in on Wednesday. And so we have to go back and pick her up at the airport. But it's been a wonderful time here. Just even driving to North Carolina from Oklahoma, just the beautiful green as we're driving along the highway to see green grass and green trees. And Sarah's like, oh, the trees I grew up with, nice and fluffy. She called them fluffy trees. But God is so good, and He is. He's worthy of all of our praise. He deserves all the glory, all of the honor. And it's such a privilege for us to be able to represent Him. Even when I was a little boy, it just seemed like this, the call. We know that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, right after His death, His burial, His resurrection, Jesus had already instructed His disciples to meet Him in Galilee. So they had head up to the mountains. And the Bible says in verse 18 that Jesus came and He told His disciples this thing. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because of that, He said, therefore, go. Everybody say go. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And He said this, He said, now teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this was the commission that Jesus Himself said, is that I am now transferring to you this authority. I'm transferring this commission that I had to you to say, go into all the nations, make disciples of all nations. John's gospel in chapter 6, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so it seems like it's something that is compelling within our hearts. And I know that even Luke, when he records what Jesus had talked about right before His ascension, now that was, they were in Jerusalem, back in Jerusalem at that time. And he said, the reason that the Spirit, we know that when we receive Jesus into our heart, the Spirit of God comes and abides within us. And Jesus was telling them right before He ascended to the Father that as we have received the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that we have been endued, we have been clothed with power. If you look at that Greek word says ability, that He has given us the ability to work on His behalf. And He said that we would be, He said, these are the words of Jesus. He said, you will be My witnesses, telling everybody about Me everywhere. And then He said, in Jerusalem, and throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, or this translated, the ends of the earth. And so I think I might have shared this before, but this compulsion is that we're all called to go. We're all called to do. Sometimes we kind of relegate and think, oh, we'll send our Lottie Moonma offerings, we'll support missions from where, and it's good. We're all called to be missionaries. Some are called to be missionaries that go. Some are called to be missionaries that send. And some get to do both. They get to go and send. And so we've got this honor. But really, that verse kind of rose up on the inside of me as Lionel was reading and was talking about, let's invite those unchurched young people to the Vacation Bible School over this next week. And that's part of what we're supposed to do. In Jerusalem, if you remember what he was saying there, well, what does that mean that we're supposed to be witnesses for him? Tell everybody about Jesus in Jerusalem and Judea. Well, if you think about where were they? They were in Jerusalem. That's their local. That's like Barbie's Grove. That's like Albemarle, wherever you might live. We're to be a witness to Jesus in the place that we are. In Jerusalem, and then Judea is the region. Jerusalem is within the region of Judea. In other words, it says we're not just supposed to stop representing Jesus and telling people about Jesus just in our own local Jerusalem or our own local Barbie's Grove or within Albemarle, but we need to extend that to the region that we live in, Stanley County. We need to get involved with making sure that the name of Jesus is magnified and is preached in our region as well. But he didn't stop there. Then he said, so that's what our Judea would be. Our Jerusalem would be Barbie's Grove or Albemarle. Our Judea would be like Stanley County. But then he said, oh, Samaria? No, Jesus, I'm sure I didn't hear that right. You told me that I'm supposed to be a witness to you in Samaria as well? Y'all know that the children of God at that time avoided Samaria like the plague. And the main reason that they did that is because the Samaritans believed in a different God than what the children of our God believed in at the time. They did things that weren't necessarily, they were just different. They didn't honor God the same way we would. And Jesus was saying, I want you to be a witness for me even when people believe different than you do, even though they may act very differently than you. What he's saying is, I want you to still take my love and God's love to them to communicate to them. And then he didn't stop there. He said, not only that is, I want you to be able to take my love and my light and my message to the ends of the earth. And so we answered the call. God asked us if we were willing to serve him. We said, absolutely. And then when he said, well, I want you to go on foreign missions, we're okay. Actually, we got pretty excited about it. I thought we were going to Africa. Sarah thought we were going to South America. And here, God asked us to go to... Really? I mean, that's kind of like a beach ministry, isn't it? So God sent us to Australia, and what we found is that we have really duplicated this same thing in Australia. We started a church, and that church has grown to right now there are about 50 people. 2 weeks, 51 and 49. So let's average it out and say about 50 people. And I always tell them they're a ragtag regiment of believers who just love Jesus with all their heart. And they've caught this part of us communicating this, though. They love missions. And I know that you're a church that believe in missions as well. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about some testimony to kind of maybe stir you up a little bit. So we've done some. I love that what you guys do with the Boston Butts and taking the funds of that and serving your own community. That's reaching your Jerusalem and even into your Judea. About a month and a half ago, just a little bit ago, I'll try to keep my stories recent because you guys have probably heard some of our other stories. There's a gentleman in our church who has a disability. And I was thinking, how can we reach our Judea, our overall region? And they have what's called a men's shed. Do you guys have men's sheds here? It's where... I'm the youngest guy who goes there, but they have woodworking equipment, they've got some metalworking equipment, and they encourage the men in the community to come and gather for mental health, but also for fellowship. And so I was taking this gentleman, and I said, let's go to, rather than going to the men's shed in our community, let's go out to this little men's shed about 20 minutes out. They call it Whoop Whoop, which means the middle of nowhere. And so we went to Allora, and we say, hey, we've come to join the men's shed and just build some relationships, and we're going to work with our hands and our wood. So they have what's called morning tea. Australians love every break they can take, so at 10:30, they stop for morning tea. and for break time, and then of course they do it in 3:30 as well. So we just get there, you barely start working, and it's morning tea. And so we stopped, and we kind of joined the circle, and we were sitting there, and I was talking, and all of a sudden I hear this storming rant. And my ear starts picking up, and this guy has nothing nice to say. It's quite vile about church and especially pastors. And he just doesn't stop. And the guy who went with me, he looks at me, he starts to talk, and I grab his arm and I shake his head, thinking this isn't the time to be having this conversation. But man, whatever is happening, he is not a big believer in churches and especially pastors. So I thought, rightio. I went home that night. And I said, God, I would love to be a part of that man's salvation story. And I started praying for him. And so it's a long story that I'll try to make short, because I feel like I'm going to get dropped any minute here to the basement by your pastor. So the next time that we go there, this is a small warehouse with four benches. And everyone's working on three benches, and there's this empty bench. And so I take this gentleman that I'm with, and I say, hey, let's go over here and start working on this bench. It's open for us. And we start opening, and there's a window right there. And this gentleman who was just going off his head picks his head in and just reams me that I'm working at his bench. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm not having a very good start with this guy. But we're talking about going into every man's world, where he's at. And so I apologized, and I made everything just nice and straight and organized the tools. And he came back around, and he was trying to lift something heavy to take. And I said, here, let me grab that for you. And so I grabbed that, and I walked around the outside and set it down for him. And I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize that was your bench, and we will be very respectful. And he looked at me like I was the weirdest creature, like four-headed, because Australians, they're known to be able to tell you exactly what they think. And this guy was telling me that. And so anyway, he got to talking, and he, at the end of that day, he came up and he apologized and said, hey, I'm on the spectrum, and there's some challenges here, but it seems like this guy that you're with, it seems like you're really good friends. I said, yeah, we are really good friends. And he said, what's it like to be a good friend? And I thought, wow, here is an opportunity. So I said, well, so what do you do? You know, and he said, I said, what are you working on? He's like, oh, he said, I'm working on a speaker stand. I said, really? You got a new sound system? No, I've got. He said, well, for Christmas, I don't have anyone to celebrate for Christmas, so I didn't get myself a Christmas present. And he said, last week was my birthday, and I didn't get myself a birthday present. But I walked into Aldi. They have Aldi in Australia. He said he walked into Aldi and he saw this electronic drum kit. So he bought an electronic drum kit for Christmas, and then he bought another electronic drum kit for his birthday. And so he's got two electronic drum kits at home that he's building, and he said what he wants to do is, and he's probably in his mid-70s, and he said, I want to swing it so I can really hear the sound when I'm hitting this drum, but I want to be able to swing it for if I have a girlfriend to come visit me, that she'll be able to hear it. So anyway, we're talking, and I said something about the wiring on this thing. How are you going to wire it with the way you're turning it? And he starts telling me about all these wires. I say, you sound really, really like you know what you're doing with wiring and the sound. And he's like, yeah, I was a sound engineer for 30 years. I thought, that's my hook. So I said, I need your help. I said, hey, I just meet down here at the community hall, and I've got this speaker. It's actually one like this, a lav mic. I could probably really, well, this guy, Mr. B, he's helping me right now. So anyway, I've just kind of told you a little bit of a story. So I said, hey, I really need some help. I've got this lav mic that I use that just gives me a lot of feedback, and it's squawking, and can you help me? Yeah, I can help you. I said, fantastic. Will you meet me some? I'll meet you anytime, Saturday, any day of the week. But I'd love to have this. And he said, well, when do you do your meetings? And I said, because he doesn't know I'm a pastor. And so he, I said, oh, we'll go any day. I didn't want to freak him out or anything. So I said, any day, you name the day, I'll be there. And he said, well, when's your meeting? And I said, well, I sometimes go out on Sunday. And he's like, oh, okay. And I left it there. We were getting ready to leave. This was week 3. He came up to me and he said, I remember everything you said last week. He said, are you some kind of motivational speaker? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I said, now listen, Mr. B, I called him his name. And I said, listen, you liked me before you knew I was a pastor. And I'm not an ugly guy. And you said you were going to come help me. And I'm still holding you to your word that you're going to come help me. Okay. So he said, when do you want me to come? I said, actually, how about Sunday? Because that way you can see what's really happening in live service. And I thought, I've got the hook. But I've also had a lot of people who said, yeah, they're going to come to church, and they never do. You know, people are crying out to be loved today, right here in Stanley County. They're looking for a reason. They're just looking for an invitation, for someone who will care enough about them, about what their needs might be, to be able to invite them to come to church. You know, it's interesting. We in Australia, a side note, I'll get back to Mr. B. How much time do I have? I'll pick it up. In Australia, we're raising sheep. Sheep, yeah. This is what I've found about raising sheep. Sheep produce sheep. The shepherd feeds, tends, and cares for the flock. But if I want to build my mob, my herd of sheep, the sheep are the ones that are going to have to build the numbers within the flock. Let that one sink in for a little bit. So you're important. Sheep produce sheep. Your shepherd is the one who tends and cares and feeds and creates an environment for you to be able to increase the size of the flock. Let me get back to Mr. B. Sorry, I don't know why that one came up. But Mr. B, so he comes on Sunday. He looks around. He comes. As soon as service is over, he's gone. He disappeared. He doesn't even come back to Men's Shed on Tuesday. I thought, wow, okay, well, at least he got the word in. Next Tuesday, we're there, and Mr. B shows up at Men's Club. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to confront the issue. And I say, hey, Mr. B, I said, what did you think of church? You think really outside the box. I'm like, well, is that good or bad? You think really outside the box. I said, I don't care how I think outside the box. I need your help. Will you help me? He said, I'll help you. You need a lot of help. I said, I told you I did. So Mr. B came and he started at our sound system. To be honest with you, I don't know that the sound, well, whether it's increased or decreased, it doesn't really matter. This man here. Now, I think your job's secure and safe, Jeff and Wes. I don't think the pastor's probably going to go find a new sound man. But it was what that man needed to be invited to church. And now he started helping and serving, and every Sunday that he's there. So finally, right before we came, 2 weeks before I came. Also, I meet with him now on Wednesday afternoon. I've learned more about attenuation and gain and all the things that I never thought I would know about sound. But we're learning together on a digital box and we're just sharing life. I didn't think I had time. A lot of us are busy. A lot of us don't think we have time to reach out to our neighbor, to spend that extra time. But it's been worth it for Mr. B. A couple weeks ago, we got there and I said, hey, Mr. B, I called him by his name. I said, I don't know, I just don't feel like dealing with sound today. I just want to know, you've been here. What do you think about these services that you've been coming to? I said, I consider you a friend. And he said, you're a really good friend. You're my only friend. I said, well, listen, when we leave this planet, when we die, we're all going to die one day. I want to know that I'm still going to be able to be your friend in a place that we call heaven. And you've heard enough about these messages. I said, have you prayed that prayer? And are you ready to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, let's talk about something else. I'm like, oh man, I thought I was so close. We couldn't get anything done that day. I mean, his mind was just going, and about an hour and a half later, he looked at me and he said, okay, I'm ready to pray that prayer. I'm like, fantastic. All right. You've heard it before. Every Sunday we have this prayer for people to be able to repeat. And I said, all right, let's pray. He said, hang on. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe we won't pray. He said, I want to talk first. And this man just started sharing his life. You see, it was all about relational evangelism. I had to build a relationship before this man would ever open his heart and start talking to me about all of the hurt in his life. And now I understand why he had all this vitriol and vile against the church and especially against pastors. But afterwards, he said, after he got all of this off and I apologized on behalf of society for all that he went through, he turned to me with tears in his eyes and he said, I'm ready to pray now. And we prayed this most beautiful prayer. And after he was done, I just prayed with him and for him. And I started to say, Bruce, and he's like, shh, let's be quiet. He said, we're going to put everything up and we're not going to talk. We're just going to be quiet. He said, and I'm going to drive home and I'm going to drive home quietly. And I'm going to sit in my house very quietly. I said, okay, sir, I'll help you. He left, didn't say a word. Usually he says, bless you, Father. And I'm like, I'm not a father. I'm just a pastor. Just call me Brian. Sunday he came to church. His whole countenance was different. Was totally changed. I said, Mr. B, how are you going today? And he said, I've been quiet for 3 days. And I just, because I don't want this thing that's happening in my heart to leave or to change. He said, I want to capture this feeling forever. I'm no different than one of you sitting in these pews today. Mr. B was just crying out to be loved by someone. And he needed someone to believe, even though he was trying to push away church and he was trying to push away pastors, he was trying to push away the church. What he was really doing is in his heart, he was crying out to be loved. And he encountered the love of a Savior. That is what the local church is for. So what is it that your neighbor, how can you plant the hook? The sound system and the needs that I had was just an opportunity for me to get him into church. But now he's found a place that he can serve, and he is one of the most faithful. And when we got ready to leave, he said, listen, I promise you, I'm going to make sure nothing bad happens while you're gone. You can count on me. He's lovely. If you think about this story from time to time, would you just pray for Mr. B? His name's Bruce. Pray for Bruce. But how many other Bruces are there within our community that we can reach out that are crying out to be loved? How many people here in Barbie's Grove? How many people in Albemarle are just waiting for an invitation, for someone to take an interest and be relational? I better keep moving, Pastor. We will be witnesses for Jesus in our own community, Jerusalem, in our Judea, which is Stanley County, Samaria. Obviously, I kind of hit Samaria with this atheist who didn't believe in God and had no nothing nice to say about the church or especially pastors. But then one of the things that we've done within the church is if we were called to go, we've also created, not only do we reach our own community, but we want to reach the ends of the earth. And so we have within our church a missionary couple, similar to like Pastor Jim. They served in Mozambique, Africa. And while they were there, they had a Bible school, and they trained up a guy from Zimbabwe who came to them on the streets one day and said, I saw your face, and I heard this message that I'm supposed to serve Jesus and that I was supposed to come see you. You would tell me all about it. He wasn't even saved, but he said he knew that he was so. So anyway, we're working with Peter, and let me just briefly in the next 2 minutes tell you a little bit or three. I'm a pastor, so what does that mean, right? Most people know that not to put on a roast Sunday morning, but I threaten them that I'll go till three. I won't. So Mozambique, by the way, your pastor has sowed into some of these missions programs as well. And we have now, over the last 2 years, we have equipped over 1,500 pastors with their own Bible. Can you imagine coming to a church that a pastor only has a couple pages of the Bible that he has that he can preach from? That's all that he's ever been given because they can't afford their own Bible. And so we have been working all throughout the districts and regions. We're now over 1,500 pastors. What we've done is we've been able to buy a projector that's a battery operated, and we've got a battery pack and speakers that plug into that. And Peter, with his little motorcycle, he's going out to these villages that have never heard of Jesus. Some have, but they have. It's kind of a gospel that because they don't have no Bible, it's kind of gotten a bit. The witch doctors have really contorted even people's beliefs. And so what we're doing now is we're helping Peter go into these villages. I'll tell you about the one that happened 2 weeks ago. Kafumbi is the name of the village. And so Peter was able to contact 16 different pastors within this area of Kafumbi, and he brought them all together. Taught them the word, talked about evangelism, and they took them out going door-to-door witnessing. 11 of the 16 pastors had never gone witnessing door-to-door. And they found, you know, hey, they talk about Jesus. What, is there anything we can pray with you about? And they were inviting them to the Jesus film that was going to be shown later that night on this portable projector. And 11 people... His name are now recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. They gave their heart to Jesus because of the efforts of someone just going and knocking on a door saying, hey, listen, I'm from so-and-so church, and I just want to let you know that we love you, and is there anything we can pray with you about? And then just opens the door for the gospel. 11 people gave their lives to Jesus. The main pastor that Peter was working with, he said, I just want to really believe God. I think we should set 100 adult chairs and 60 kid chairs up for the Jesus film tonight. They'd never had that many people come together. That night, 209 adults showed up to watch the Jesus film. 32 people gave their lives to Jesus that night. The village, the chief of the village came and asked Peter, he said, listen, I want to open my house. Will you stay in my house, but will you make sure that you can run this film? There are people that are still coming that won't get here until late tonight, and they need to see this film. All because of a ragtag regiment of believers in Queensland, Australia, out in the middle of whoop-whoop, decided, you know what? We're going to do what we can to send the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these pastors, 10 of these pastors we equipped with bicycles so that they could go. And the pastor said, listen, I'm going to go into 10 new villages that have never heard of Jesus, and I'm going to start a Bible study that's going to lead to a church plant. He's done that, by the way. And but his village wasn't really happy that he had started telling people about Jesus. So while he was away, his kids were at school, the house burnt down. And so just this last month, we talked to our church and we said, well, what's the need? It's winter there as well. I said, well, what is the family doing? They're sleeping under the tree outside, believing God that they'll be able to get a blanket. Seriously. The church wasn't in a condition to help them. They went to the village chief. The village chief said there wasn't anything that they could help them with. It was drought time. They talked to other churches. No one was able to help this family. I said, I think we should help this family. We found out for $951, that's Australia dollars, so that's about $700 here. We could buy each member of the family a blanket. We could buy them a jacket that they could wear. We could buy them, they send big bales of clothes, kind of like our big the big bales of hay that we have here. Well, someone somewhere puts all of these used clothes from that you know, like Goodwill or whatever, they put them in a bale, ship them out. And for $250, they were able to buy an entire bale, use what they could, and then turn around and bless others with it. And we said, hey, listen, we're not going to put grass back up on the top of your roof. We're going to actually, part of that $951 was we were able to put some metal roofing on their house, if only people would give. And so I gave the opportunity. That church responded. We needed $951. I was believing God that we'd make an impact in this pastor's family's life. His name is Pastor Joao. Seven kids. Sleeping. Everyone had avoided him because they're like, wow, what God do? We don't want to serve that God. Look at where they've gone. They're so poverty, no one would even talk to him. $1,001 came in the offering that day, last month, first, and we were able to meet every need. The village chief saw when they were driving in with all of the sheets. Peter came with them to deliver the sheets, and they put them up on the roof of the house. The village chief comes to Peter, and he says, you're the guy that's been handing out Bibles to these pastors. He said, yes, sir, that's me. He said, I'm not a pastor, but is there any way that I could get on your list? Because what I've seen today, my village needs the God that you serve. Because we were willing to make a difference with this pastor, all of a sudden the entire village has opened their heart to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of a little community out in the middle of whoop whoop nowhere in Queensland, Australia, much like Barbie's Grove, they made a difference. And that difference has now impacted an entire village. So my time is over. Sorry, Pastor. I just want to let you know, sometimes we think, well, who are we? Where we are in our community, how do we make a difference in the world today? But I'm telling you, you're making a difference. You make a difference. And all you got to do is, just like the VBS, just as Lionel read today, invite those unchurched kids. Some of those kids are just, they would love to get out of the house and hang out with their friends for a couple days. Saturday, Sunday, you have no idea the impact that you'll make. Some of them, maybe you'll see the impact immediately. For others, it might be that you won't see the impact for years, but that seed will not return null and void. It'll still be planted in their heart, and it will grow, and it will produce a harvest in their life. God bless you guys. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your prayers. We feel your prayers. We love you guys. We love your church, and we're looking forward to getting back to Australia here in a couple weeks and seeing what more God has for us. God bless you guys.
I promise I'm not going to preach 30 minutes. You said you're having youth tonight. All right, adult church training then at 5:30. So those of you that are in that adult church training, if you'll show up at 5:30, we'll have a usual hour-long session. I didn't know all that Brian was going to share, but what the Lord laid on my heart, Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. There were seraphim flying around, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And I said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a sinful man. I live in the midst of sinful people. And an angel flies, takes a coal off the altar in heaven, puts it on Isaiah's lips. He says, now you're clean. Who will go? Who can I send? Who will go for me? You know, that's God's message to us. We don't have the coal off the altar, but we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw how holy God was. He saw how sinful he was. And he knew that there had to be something to make a connection. And for you and me, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the blood of Jesus, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, he bridges the gap. We're saved and we're on our way to heaven. At the same time, Brian said it very well. What's God's message to you? Do you have across the road neighbors that don't go to church anywhere? People that need to be loved, people that need Jesus, co-workers, family members. this morning, probably 10,000 people out of the 50,000 in Stanley County will be in church. Just a slim percentage. All of them need Jesus, because all of them are going to step out into eternity at some point. All of them are going to step out into eternity. Who will go for me? Whom can I send? All of us need to say, I volunteer. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? If you're listening to us, either in the sanctuary website, and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that just now. It's simply a matter of saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm on my way to hell. But Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior, that you died on the cross to save me, that you were buried and that you rose again. And I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. You'll do that, your life will be transformed, just like the man that Brian told us about, transformed by the power of God. And then I ask you, every person here that's saved, who do you need to love this week in the name of Jesus? Who hates church? Who hates pastors? Who hates Christians? But they need Jesus. Can you love them in His name? Will you volunteer to hear the call of God and love them in His name? Father God, as we bow before you this morning, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we might reach our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Whether we do it with our prayers, our money, our going, may we be missionaries to a world that's on its way to hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take seriously what you've heard this morning.